IELTS Test Prepcast, Episode 3. The IELTS Test Prepcast provides three free IELTS test lessons each week for candidates who are aiming for IELTS band score 7, 8, or 9. I'm Steve Price. I'm the founder of the Pass IELTS Higher website, which was started in late 2010 and has been successfully helping students achieve higher band scores since. Andrea Price currently lives and works in London, teaching IELTS, and has previously lived in Spain. She is a qualified teacher of English as a second language and has been teaching the subject at home and abroad for over 20 years. If you enjoy this free IELTS test prepcast, please show us your support and appreciation by heading over to IELTSTestPrepcast.com and clicking the subscribe in iTunes button at the top of the page. This will shoot you over to iTunes, where you can leave a rating and review. And now for today's IELTS lesson. Hello, today's IELTS lesson is to do with the IELTS listening skills, in particular those of Section 1. Andrea is with me again, and I'm just going to ask Andrea to take us through IELTS listening skills Section 1.
Hi. First of all, you need to know that in Section 1, this is usually a conversation between two people. Obviously, the sections get more and more difficult. Section 1 is a conversation between two people. It could be between friends talking about an activity. Maybe they're going on holiday and they're discussing something. Sometimes it's between two people talking to each other where a form needs to be completed, like a form for car hire or a job application or an insurance claim. There are plenty of things to remember just to help you get your marks. The first few things I would advise you to think about or to know and remember is when you need to use capital letters. So you need to use capital letters if you're writing people's names, if you're writing street names, city names, country names, if you're writing the days of the week and the months of the year. These all need capital letters.
Okay, can I just ask a question there? What I think you're saying to us is that the students need to remember to use correct grammar in their listening answer, which perhaps isn't very intuitive. I would have thought that, personally speaking, I would have thought that any answer they gave would be fine, irrespective of whether it was punctuated correctly. But you're telling me otherwise. You're telling us that grammar is important.
Yes, it is. They're actually checking to see if you can write the grammar properly once you know the answers. And you mentioned spelling, and in fact, if you spell your answer wrongly, the answer will be wrong even though it's right because of the spelling. And it's very easy to lose a couple of bands just from bad spelling, so it's something to be wary of.
Okay, follow-up question on numbers. Are they expected to spell the number or to write the number?
It's okay to write the figures.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, the next lot of things to remember are the examiner will try to trick you. Of course, your exam is to see how well you understand English, and the examiner is always putting tricks in just to make sure you're listening or that you actually do understand. One of the main tricks is when the examiner mentions a number. The minute you hear a number, be careful, because the number will be repeated a second time, but with a difference, and that's what the examiner's checking. And if you already know that's about to happen, you will be ready for it. For example, they might it is with numbers, so they might give you street numbers and then from an address and then change the number. For example, they say, 27 Green Street. Oh, no, sorry, 28 Green Street. So you've got to be very careful when you hear numbers. Postcodes, they can change as well. So W37HJ, and then, it's 7HI. Telephone numbers, they'll give you a number and then they might get one of the digits wrong, so they correct themselves. Times, they might ask to do something at, for example, 7 o'clock and then change their minds and say 7:30. They might book something for the 25th of January and then say, remember it's the wrong date, and say, the 26th of January. And prices. A typical thing they mention with prices is it's quite hard for people who aren't native speakers to understand differences between numbers like 13 and 30. So they'll check to see if you understand that very well. So they might tell you something costs $13 and you might not be listening or you might not hear the difference and put 30, 30. I would also point out that if there is no currency written down where you have to put your answer, make sure you put the currency. Otherwise, the examiner's not going to know whether you understood if the currency was dollars or pounds, etc.
Okay. The question that occurred to me as you were talking about the fact that the numbers could change, or you should probably expect them to change, was which would be the correct one for the answer? Is it normally the corrected one, or is it the
previous one? That's a good point. No, it's a corrected one.
Okay.
Okay. Right. We've already discussed about how they're checking your grammar with punctuation. Another thing to think about is you have to put words into gaps, and you've got to think about your grammar there. The words that are chosen for the gaps are normally, they're usually a noun anyway, and the students normally forget that these nouns are going to be plural. So if you write a noun, don't forget to put the S. I think that's a generalisation, but it's a true one, that if you have to put a noun in a gap fill, it probably will be a plural. You will know when it's not a plural, because just before the gap they will put a, which obviously only means one. So if they're asking you for one something, it's obviously not going to be a plural.
In a case like this, we're not talking here about possessive apostrophes and that sort of thing.
No.
This is more plurals.
It's only the plural S, or also the plural spelling. So, for example, if you hear, you don't put child, you would put children, which doesn't need a plural S, but it's the plural spelling.
Okay.
Then you have to think about your verbs. Students quite often forget to put the verb with an S, for example, if they're talking about he play football, and the examiner's checking to see that you really know that the verb play, if it's used with he, she or it, which is called the third person singular, the verb takes an S. So don't forget to put your S if the subject matter is a singular. And in opposite, or the unopposite way, is if the verb is plural, if the noun is plural, the verb is also plural, so doesn't need an S. And the examiner is just checking that you remember that.
Okay, so declining the verbs is important.
Singular or plural. Again, if you've put your answer and it should be a singular verb and you've put the plural with no S, you will lose your marks. Even if the answer's right and your grammar's wrong, you will lose the marks.
Okay. Are there any other elements that are useful for our listeners to understand?
Right. What you should do, you're given the opportunity in the exam to read the booklet before you listen. So they do it at about 5 questions at a time. Before they start speaking, they'll say, now read the first 5 questions, for example. While you're reading through, something just to help you think about the grammar is to think about the gap fill. You read through and you decide what might go in the gap. Is it going to be a noun? And so then it might be a person's name, it might be the place, it's quite often a profession. Is it a number? So you can usually tell from the words around the gap what kind of word it's going to be, a noun or a number. And the sorts of words they use for numbers are money, time, length of time, a date or a year. Something else we were talking about earlier with Steve, spelling. Spelling is really, really important in the listening exam. And if your spelling is wrong, your answer will be wrong, even though the answer's right. If you know you're bad at spelling, we do have worksheets that will allow you to improve your spelling, so you just need to check those out.
Okay. Is this something that we could add on to the show notes afterwards?
Yeah, exactly. These are in the show notes.
Okay, can I just take a moment there just to summarise before we move on to the last point? I think, and perhaps this is more complicated than I imagined, but it sounds to me like when you're undertaking section one, there are some techniques which you need to remember, which if you don't practice them and if you're not aware of them, you could end up losing marks, even though you might leave the exam thinking you've got the right answer.
Yeah.
And so the thing that hits me between the eyes, and we've spoken about it already, but correct use of grammar. So capitalization, proper nouns,
yeah. Yeah.
And on, you know, days of the week, months of the year, things like that. There is this little trick which may be included with numbers. So mm-hmm. if you hear a number, you should expect it to change.
Yeah.
And as long as you're aware of that, then you'll know that the correct answer is the second one. And with the gap fill we spoke about, what I can't remember is whether you mentioned, is there a maximum number of words or...
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's a good question. Sorry, I forgot to say. You will never be asked for more than 3 words. And I've never seen that in any exam. But be very careful. If you're asked for 2 words and you put 3, even though those 3 words contain the correct answer, you will be wrong because you didn't follow instructions. I can give you some advice here as well. You might have 4 words and you're only allowed 3. And you think everything is right. What you can remove is what we call the articles, you know, and the, and you can remove the adjectives. They're usually not important, but you should keep the nouns and the verbs. They're the important parts if you've got too many words.
Okay. And the other element they've got to remember is to pay very close attention to whether a verb is singular or plural.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that they reflect it correctly in their answers.
Yeah.
The other element, I guess, is the opposite of that, which is that they mustn't put an S on a plural verb.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Yeah. And that it's worthwhile when they're doing their listening, when they're reading ahead in the question booklet, to have a thought about what sort of words might go into the gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So, and there we're looking at nouns, maybe, you know, is it going to be a noun? Is it a name? Is it a number? Or is it a unit of time or money or something like that? So by thinking ahead, they can be ready to hear the answer in the recording when it's mm-hmm. played.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay. Another, I think, quite a key element which you had raised is this possible confusion between words that sound very similar, in particular with numbers, 14 and 40, 13 and 30, mm-hmm. You know, those sorts of numbers. So students really need to focus on listening to English people or English-speaking people using those words, and also across all the dialects, of course, country accents and dialects within those countries.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, you're right to point out accents as well, because you're expected to be able to understand accents from Australia and New Zealand, Canada and America, anywhere in Britain. So, and quite often they like Irish and Scottish, which is quite difficult to understand, or even more local ones sometimes.
Okay, I think that's going to be quite challenging for some foreign people learning English. So perhaps we'll include that as a lesson later on as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Also the spelling, there's a little bit more to do with the spelling. I did say if your spelling is wrong, your answer will be wrong, even though the answer's basically right. What you should do is make sure you know how we pronounce all the vowels in English. So the A, E, I, O and U, and all the consonants, which are the other ones. You will quite often be tested on this knowledge because when you're filling in forms, they quite often spell out, for example, the name of somebody. And if you misunderstand and note that down incorrectly, then of course you'll lose marks. So it could be somebody's surname, it might be a street name.
And does that apply to accents and dialects as well?
Mm.
Or are they normally fairly clearly spoken if they're doing spelling?
I can't say I've ever noticed that. So, no, I think it's that's probably fairly easy to understand when they're spelling.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's a good question, but I think it's quite easy to understand, as long as you know how to pronounce those letters.
Okay.
And then the last skill, which is incredibly important, is your knowledge of keywords and synonyms. In all sections of IELTS exams, you need to be able to recognise and underline keywords. It will either be in a question, or in the reading text, or in the listening booklet. Then you need to be able to understand synonyms or paraphrasing in the reading text or the spoken part of the listening. And so if you've underlined the keywords, especially in the listening, when the person speaks to you, you'll be aware that there are synonyms about to come, and then hopefully you'll be able to choose the correct answer from this.
Is the listening booklet marked itself, or is that treated as rough work?
It's rough work, yeah. No. Okay. And then obviously that's the best skill you can have. So you need to go away and learn every keyword and synonym that you come across.
Okay. So I guess what we're doing here is we're reinforcing once again that almost the most important skill, and you've called it that just here, but the most important skill that any IELTS candidate can have is to develop a very broad vocabulary and understand synonymous expressions for words that they're learning.
Especially the synonyms, especially, I think, yeah.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of this lesson. Thank you very much for explaining that to us.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again in the next lesson.
Yep, see you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the IELTS Test Prepcast, which provides free IELTS lessons for candidates aiming for IELTS band scores 7, 8 or 9. Subscribe to this prepcast in iTunes or download it from our website www.ieltstestprepcast.com.